You know him from NBC Sports and his column you can find online every Monday. Here is NFL insider Peter King. How you doing, Peter?
What's up, guys? How are you?
We're doing very well. We're trying to digest what the hell happened last night in the state of Ohio. That was a fairly entertaining game. I was impressed with Cleveland overall. But in terms of the quarterbacks, Baker or Burrow, more compelling outcome and storyline for you?
Well, I think that game was absolutely critical for Baker Mayfield. He had to play well. If he doesn't play well, all kinds of crap is going to come down on his head. This is year three. He's got to show that he is the long-term answer without any question as the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. And he, everything he showed last night was positive. Now, it helps when your running game gashes the opposition for over 200 yards, and it helps when you're playing the Cincinnati Bengals, who will be the worst team in that division. Now, they're not hopeless, and the reason that they're not hopeless is because of Joe Burrow. In his first two games, Joe Burrow has shown the world just what LeBron James tweeted last night mid-game. This kid Burrow is really good. He's got it, you know, whatever it is. But I think that everybody who has watched Burrow and anybody who watched the game last night would say, my God, Joe Burrow is an intriguing prospect and we really like what we see. And I will be surprised, not shocked, because, you know, this is the way life is. And a lot is, you know, of how you play as a player is based on who's on your team. And right now the Cleveland Browns have a much better roster, 1-53, than the Cincinnati Bengals. But in my opinion, the quarterback in Cincinnati is better.
Yeah, I can't necessarily argue that, although I think the effectiveness of Baker last night, the stats don't scream at you the way the Burrows do. But I thought he was relatively effective. He threw that one pick. He didn't see
no double coverage.
Right? And he relied on his run game, which he's allowed to do. But I don't think Burrow can survive, and I don't think it's a smart strategy to put a kid out there and ask him to throw 61 times. I mean, that just cannot continue. He's going to get killed at some point.
He's
that old line is terrible.
He's not going to throw 61 times. But the problem that you have is that every time he looked up, he was down 10. So, you know, no coach worth his salt is going to say we can survive throwing it 60 times a game. You know, this isn't the Southwest Conference, and, you know, it's not Texas Tech and those schools. So I don't expect that to be a habit, but, you know, again, you got to coach according to what you have on your team at that time, and right now Burrow gives them the best chance to win.
Sticking with the quarterbacks, what did you think of the exchange with Bruce Arians and Tom Brady last week? The way I looked at it, he was just describing the two plays and what happened. I don't think he was being overly critical. And I know Brett Favre has come out and said maybe they have a truce where, you know, the coach can talk about the player just so everybody knows they're all on the same page. But what did you think of the exchange? And was he overly critical, or is he just describing the plays, as I thought?
I didn't really think he was overly critical. If you look up Bruce Arians over time and you look and see how he has talked about his quarterbacks over time, he has many times been critical of choices that his quarterbacks have made and throws that his quarterbacks have made. So I didn't think what Arians did was all that much different from what he has done in the past with Carson Palmer, Ben Roethlisberger, and some of the other quarterbacks he's had, Andrew Luck. So, I mean, we'd probably have to go back and do a forensic analysis of that, but my feeling is that Arians is probably one of the more honest coaches who, if you make a mistake in his eyes, he's not going to have any problem with announcing it to the world.
With NFL insider Peter King. So how do you expect Brady and company to regroup after somewhat of an ugly game last week, but a tough one at New Orleans? Now you're at home against Carolina. You're supposed to win this outright. What do we see on Sunday from Tampa?
Well, consider that you know, approximately one month ago, Tom Brady got in a huddle for the first time ever with his teammates in Tampa, and for their first game, for the first test that he has, they have to play at the game that is likely or has a good chance to be the toughest game on their schedule. So, you know, again, you know, and maybe Kansas City will be, you could easily make that argument. But, you know, in general, I think the way you have to look at it is, you know, the NFL did not do the Bucs many favors with giving them, you know, either the toughest or one of the two toughest games on their schedule right out of the box. That's one thing. But the second thing is, you know, I think Brady made one really bad decision in this game, and that was the pick six he threw. That was a bad decision and a bad throw. And it was a fairly easy play by Janoris Jenkins. And so what Brady has to do is he's just got to get to know his guys better, which he's in the process of doing every day. But I do think he's going to struggle for a chunk of this season. How long that's going to be, I don't know. But this week, at least it's a fair fight. He's playing a quarterback who also is just getting used to the guys on his team, hasn't had much experience with them yet, in Teddy Bridgewater and the Panthers. I would expect the Bucs to win, but there are going to be hiccups along the way for Brady, but I definitely don't think he's done. I think he's going to play well this year.
Well, it's only week two, so, I mean, there's some extreme hyperbole here to suggest mm-hmm. that any teams need a win. But there are a few teams that I think had high hopes this year that didn't have the greatest week one. They would certainly be looking for bounce backs. And I look at Minnesota and Indianapolis, and they play each other this weekend. I look at the Niners going across the country at New York, maybe Philly. Of those teams, you know, and you feel free to include anyone else, maybe Houston, is there a team you're circling and you're thinking they have to look a lot better at the very least to what they looked in week one?
The number one team, far and away, without any question to me, was Cleveland. And they did what they had to do last night. They weren't quite as good on defense as I thought they could be or should be, but I thought Cleveland really, really needed that. I think the number two team on your list is San Francisco. You know, this is a team that has been absolutely gobsmacked by injuries in their receiving core. And it looks like if he plays this week, that George Kittle is not going to be anywhere near 100%. He's an essential part of that offense. The most dangerous receiver they have, Deebo Samuel, is gone for the first 3 weeks at least. After breaking his foot in June, that is a huge, huge injury for Kyle Shanahan when he's play calling a game. And then Brandon Ayuk, who may play, it looks like he will play at the Jets, is certainly not 100%, but he was their first-round pick this year, or one of their two first-round picks. They really need him to hit the ground running. And that's always a dangerous thing for a rookie. But this all flows into the Jimmy Garoppolo tributary. And, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo has got to play better than he played last week against Arizona. When your team is totally beat up and needs to have the quarterback make big plays to help out a wounded tight end and wide receiver position group, Jimmy Garoppolo's got to step up and make things happen. So that would be one other team. And I think the third team would be the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, their offensive line was an absolute disaster last week, as bad as any single position group was in the NFL last week. Allowed 8 sacks. They couldn't get anything going. Carson Wentz is, you know, just looking like, you know, what in the world is going on here? And now, what do the Philadelphia Eagles have coming in? Aaron Donald, the most dangerous football player playing today. So, you know, the Eagles, I mean, I don't know how they're going to handle that game. That is a really tough game. The Rams played better than I think anybody thought last week in beating Dallas in the opener. So, I don't know. Those are three teams that I think have a lot to play for this weekend.
Peter, you had Cleveland at one, but wasn't that kind of a given that they were going to bounce back against Cincy? I mean, isn't it more important?
I didn't think so because I thought that Joe Burrow was going to play. I think Joe Burrow right now is really good and not really good for a rookie. I think he's really good. I think Joe Burrow is going to win some games. The Bengals are going to win some games this year. And you say, how'd the Bengals win that game? And it's all going to be due to Burrow. So, I mean, the Browns lost by 32 points last week. There's no game that Cleveland is going to play all season that I say it's a given at all. Maybe when they play, well, look, they don't play the Jets, I think, until December, but the Jets stink worse than the Browns do or did in week one. So maybe I would view that differently, but I'm higher than the Bengals, I think, than you are.
Yeah, and I think you've been saying that about the Browns like everyone else for about 20 years now. So just roll the tape, and no one has too much faith in them. And, you know, speaking of the devil, you mentioned Kittle just a moment ago. Schefter tweeting out the Niners have ruled him out. So Kittle will not be there on Sunday. But they're playing the Jets.
The thing about his importance to that offense is that Jimmy Garoppolo needs an intermediate safety blanket. And to Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle is what Rob Gronkowski was for Tom Brady for all those years. And without him, and without one of the best deep threats in football in Deebo Samuel, I'm just telling you, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to wake up Sunday morning in New Jersey and say, all right, guys, ride me today. I'm going to lead us today. We're going to be fine. And if he doesn't do that, look, they're lucky to be playing the Jets this weekend, in my opinion. That's a game. There's not a team in the league right now that I think is an easier win right now than the Jets. So that's fortunate that at their lowest ebb right now, the 49ers get to have the Jets.
With Peter King, we'll get you out of here on the Sunday nighter where Bill Belichick had incredible praise for Russell Wilson. I mean, it's not like Russ.
Better player.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. And it's not like Russ doesn't get a ton of love, but, you know, at the same time, maybe he does get overlooked to an extent just because of where he's come in on the rankings. We've been talking about this for a long time that, you know, Brady and Peyton Manning had already been established when he showed up. Rodgers was ahead of him. Now you got Mahomes and Jackson who are behind him but are getting a ton of love. And Wilson just keeps chugging along and putting up remarkable numbers. And when you get maybe the greatest coach of all time saying you might be the best player in football, that goes a long way. But I'm always a little bit skeptical with Belichick. Like, is there a gamesmanship here? Is he trying to spark something from Cam? How should we read into those comments before they play on Sunday?
I don't think you should overplay him. I mean, Belichick was just, he only plays Russell Wilson once every 4 years, except if they meet in the Super Bowl, obviously. But so, you know, who knows? How many more times is he going to face Russell Wilson? Maybe none. But, I mean, I doubt that. I think he's going to coach for a while longer. But I think he was just simply stating a fact by what he has seen. And I think the Russell Wilson story is so incredibly interesting. I mean, look, he was drafted in the third round in 2012. This is ninth year in the NFL. And he never, ever, ever has not started a game for the Seahawks since he walked into training camp in the summer of 2012. I mean, the guy was drafted after a punter. And he has had one of the most amazing careers of any current player in the game because whatever he is, I think he's second or third now in NFL history in passer rating. for his career. And he does everything well. He leads well. He takes a hit and he keeps on ticking. I'll never forget the first time I met him. I met him in that training camp in 2012 up in Seattle. And what was really, really interesting is that, right away, you could tell what a football nerd he was. He says, "Hey, Mr. King, how you doing? Yeah, I read your stuff. I'm really interested in." And he said, "Tell me a couple things about Drew Brees." And he asked me some questions about Brees. And so he's a football sponge. And I really, over the years, have appreciated his greatness so much. The one other thing I would say, people, and I've written this, I wrote it this spring just to kind of try to put it in some perspective. In the 8 full seasons that he's had, he started every game that the Seahawks have had, obviously, in those 8 years and now in his 9th year. But in those 8 years, there have been 400 MVP votes cast in the NFL, and he's never gotten a single one of them. And understand this. In baseball, the baseball writers get to vote for a number of players. It's either 5 or 10. They have a ballot, and they vote 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or however many there are. And the points are handed to players on a sliding scale. And so, obviously, if this were, if that system were in football, Russell Wilson would have got a boatload of votes by now. But the fact is, it's impossible last year, at least in my opinion, even though Russell Wilson had a great year, it's impossible if you have a vote, which I do, for the MVP, it's impossible to not vote for Lamar Jackson. He sets the NFL record for rushing yards in a season by a quarterback. His team wins more games than any team in the NFL, and he leads the NFL in touchdown passes. Well, how could you not vote for him? It's impossible. And he was, since Russell Wilson has been in the NFL, this was the second time that there was a unanimous vote for the MVP. So nobody else got any votes last year other than Lamar Jackson, and deservedly so. I have argued with the Associated Press, which is the keeper of the MVP. I've argued with them almost every year. You've got to change this. Because it's ridiculous that these are great, great players, and it's like they don't exist. Only one guy gets recognition for the MVP. So I don't know. I don't see it changing, but I don't agree with the system in place.
Peter King's Football Morning in America, the must-read football article every Monday, and we look forward to it. And it's always great of you to take time for us. We'll do it again next week. Thank you for this, Peter.
Sounds great, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yep, Peter King, NFL insider from NBC. Russell Wilson, man. He's good. And
yeah,
Belichick.
I always think there's an angle with Belichick.
That's
though.
What I'm saying. Like, what's he up to over there?
Because it is like, Cam Newton, I feel like it's almost like a challenge to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, flat out. Like, I'm
that's the only thing it would be. He wouldn't be slighting or...
No, it's not a disrespect thing.
That's
it's
for Cam like... Newton, for Belichick to say, "I don't think there's a better player than this guy." It's for Cam Newton to read that.
Totally. Yeah.
It's not anything to slight Russell Wilson say that he's overrated. No. It's just he wants to see what his quarterback does.
Yeah. It's. I think there's always... With guys like that, I think they're always going through little tests with their players. He's got a new quarterback. He wants to see, if this guy is going to step up and against the best in the league. And I would love for him to be, for Cam Newton to have a fantastic night and go to Belichick and be like, "Actually, I'm your guy. I'm the best."
Well,
tonight.
It would go a long way for him. Yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone's ever slighting Russell Wilson. You can't do that. I mean, it's not possible. He's already going to the Hall of Fame right now. He could retire tonight. He's going. And he's going to go down in history as an all-time great player. And he'll get better over time because you look at his stats and say, wow, right. Look at this guy. Look at how much he won. And the division he's played in has historically been very difficult. But I think trying to get Cam going, who has won an MVP, which Russell Wilson has not, maybe that's one way to try to just keep him motivated going into week 2. That's a tough game at Seattle. Really tough Sunday night.